Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it
all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a ain't one.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, two new co-hosts, at least for the week anyway. Joe Teague back in, and Paul Cicchini rejoining the show for a special engagement. So thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for keeping me in the intro.
Right? I do what I can. So online at Way of the Warrior, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. We are now officially part of the talk platform for iHeartRadio, so you can get us there. And on Twitter, you can connect to our iTunes and our Stitcher account. So lots of places for you to get it. The show brought to you by Gun Lake Casino, so close by, so much fun. And make sure you say hi to those guys if you're in the area. Lots to talk about. We had a world tour where the UFC stole a page from Floyd Mayweather to wander around the countryside and shake hands and kiss babies and get you excited about the rest of the title fights for the remainder of the year and convince you that it's totally okay that Ronda Rousey isn't headlining her pay-per-view.
And yelling at politicians in New York.
Yes, and yelling at politicians in New York, which they actually should totally do. We will talk about UFC on Fox 8, down 40%, the lowest viewed one of these things in the entire series, and I think there are quite a few reasons why.
Possibly, but there were some awesome highlights too, and there's growth in the 18 to 49 male demo. Awesome. I'm serious.
Okay. All
it was
right.
The highest. It was eighth ranked highest in the network in the entire week out of all shows on the male platform.
Well, when we get to that in segment two, I'm going to ask for you to defend the fact that there might have been a few dogs of fights in there that, you know, I fall into that demographic you're saying, and I wanted to turn it off even though it's my job. So,
I'm looking forward to that because we need Ken here, actually, and I would never say that on any day.
Well, unfortunately, he couldn't make it, but we have been talking all week, and he is, like, angry. Like, he wants them to eliminate the 125-pound weight class. Like, he's angry about it, but unfortunately, he's not here to defend his
take. I will stand up in his honor on this one.
But before we get that, this weekend, UFC 163, we go back to Brazil, so that means it's a card full of people that chances are you have not heard. But the two fights that you should be paying attention to are Jose Aldo taking on the Korean Zombie and Lyoto Machida taking on Phil Davis. Jose Aldo was originally supposed to take on Anthony Pettis, if you don't remember that. Anthony got hurt. Then everyone thought it was going to be Ricardo Lamas. It ended up being the Korean Zombie, and as a twist of fate, Ricardo Lamas also got injured, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. The Korean Zombie would have been in this slot to begin with. The Korean Zombie he said yesterday in the press conference, he was surprised he got the title fight, but glad he's here. Do either of you guys think that this is going to go any way but the Jose Aldo way?
Well, I think the interesting thing about the Korean Zombie that we've seen so many times with him is that he can take a punch from pretty much anybody, and he's going to walk through it in his Korean Zombie way, and he's going to put on a good fight. Now, when it comes to Jose Aldo, I don't know if he's got the power to knock out the Korean Zombie. It's certainly a possibility, but what I'm interested to see is if this fight makes it to the ground, because we've seen some very fancy ground game from the Korean Zombie, particularly in two of his last three fights.
You are referring to the first ever twister in the UFC? Yes.
And a Darce finish in his last fight.
Yes.
So, you know, when you have that kind of skill set on the ground and you're able to take punches, you know, pretty well when you're standing, I think that presents a different kind of fight for Jose Aldo, because he's not going to be like the Mark Hominick fight where he's just going to, you know, take elbows to the head all night and last through that on the ground and not really do anything.
But in the Mark Hominick fight, though, we saw some chinks in the armor in that as that got deeper and deeper, and hindsight, they said that Aldo was sick in that fight, so that's why he slowed down in round four and five. But he cuts a lot of weight to get down to 145, and Dana has talked about it this week and the week before about if he wins this one, they're going to essentially beg for him to go up to 155 so that he can kind of extend his career, because these are very tough cuts. And when you have these tough cuts, what you don't know is if you don't do it, if you were never a wrestler, your body doesn't bounce back very well when you start to do these giant cuts over and over and over again. And so while they can say he was sick in the Hominick fight, He could also be sick in this one. And there's a very real possibility, Joe, that the Korean Zombie could get this into round four and five. And if he does, Paul, this is where he could actually do what you are saying.
It's quite bizarre. I swear, it's like you must have seen my notes before the show. I actually think the Korean Zombie can pull it off. I'm actually thinking he is going to win.
Earlier, or he's going to have
late.
To? Late, yeah.
Late. He just has to survive his speed. Although speed, he's got some power, but like Paul already said, he can just walk through it, and he just keeps going. And mind you, as you speak about the ground game, Korean Zombie's got 100% takedown defense. It's pretty amazing compared to Aldo.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we haven't seen since Aldo's been in the UFC a solid ground game from him. He has one. We know he has one. You go back, he's undefeated for the last 8 years. That's kind of a long time. It's a lot of fights.
I mean, it's a long time. And not to cut you off, but what's interesting is at the press conference this week, somebody asked him about that. Said, hey, you know, you've had a belt for 8 years. One of your other brethren had it for 7.5 and said he was relieved. In Anderson Silva said that he was relieved to have that weight taken off of his shoulders so that he can climb back up. Whether or not that's true, I think Aldo's response was very interesting. Aldo said, the belt weighs 9 kilos. It's a great weight to add onto my body. If I'm lucky, I'll get to add another 9 kilos after I win this fight at 155 pounds. So Aldo seems like his mind is in the right place, different from, say, Anderson in this Weidman fight, when it seemed like there was just some weird stuff going on, not only leading up to the fight, but certainly in the fight itself.
Well, Jose Aldo and Anderson Silva, you can't really compare the two because the difference is Anderson Silva, when he goes to fight, he wants to win, but he's going to fight his unique style where there's showboating, he's playing around, and he finally got caught. When Jose Aldo steps into the cage, he tries to kill you. I mean, he's got one objective, and it's finish you, and he's got a lot of finishes. You don't see him often going to a decision, and that's what kind of makes this particular fight against the Korean Zombie especially interesting to me, because if the Korean Zombie, like Joe said, can last into the fight, his chances go up, and we have to see how Aldo fares, weight cut, and just those championship rounds, because he hasn't been in a lot of championship rounds, these 4 and 5 rounders, because he finishes fights.
And doing my favorite thing, Joe, playing MMA math, Mark Hominick was the one that took it to, you know, the 5th round and was able to take Jose Aldo into those deep rounds, and the Korean Zombie beat Mark Hominick in 9 seconds. So to your point, if you use MMA math, clearly, or if you prefer heretofore, the Korean Zombie will beat Jose Aldo. No? Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
And then the co-main event, Lyoto Machida and Phil Davis, 205 pounds. This division, Paul, is getting a little crazy. As once you're underneath Alexander Gustafsson, who is taking on John Jones here very shortly, it's kind of a shark tank as to who's going to do what. You've got Chael Sonnen able to take Shogun off into the corner to go on to Fox Sports 1 here in 2 weeks. And so that kind of shakes up Shogun's part. You've got Vitor Belfort barking. You've got, you know, there's all this crazy stuff. And then underneath it all, you've got Lyoto Machida, who was, last time I checked, say 3 months ago, the actual number one contender, who is now fighting Phil Davis.
Well, and not even just the number one contender 3 months ago. If you go to the UFC's ranking website, which you, of course, know about because you're a part of.
I do,
looked
yes.
at some of those rankings just to be sure I could call you out if you start down-talking somebody you put up high in the rankings. But Lyoto Machida is the number one contender right now at 205 pounds. And yeah, like you said, obviously he's not the number one contender in terms of who John Jones is fighting next. But when you look at who is number three, Glover Teixeira, in these rankings, he's fighting Ryan Bader coming up. I think you have a perfect opportunity here. If Lyoto Machida wins, he fights Glover Teixeira.
How many times does he have to fight to be the number one contender?
But here's the thing. He was finished by John Jones, and you have a guy who a lot of people are heaping a lot of praise on in Glover Teixeira. And honestly, I don't look at Ryan Bader has been an up-and-down fighter, and I don't think
But anybody, a dangerous up-and-down fighter.
True, but he got creamed by Lyoto Machida.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And Lyoto Machida, when you look at his record, he's got, what, three losses in the UFC that have happened fairly recently, but none of those losses look like ones that should be a Phil Davis loss, right?
No, correct.
And,
yes,
and
but that's...
we know he finished Bader. So what I'm saying is you've got a guy here, a rising star in Glover Teixeira. Let's see how legitimate he is before we just throw another, you know, rematch in. We don't like to see rematches.
Well, you can say that you don't like to see rematches, but I guess I see this poor guy who's getting up in age, and you and apparently everyone at the UFC wants him to fight everybody at 205 pounds before he gets back. This is a number one contender's fight. Sorry, Alexander Gustafsson's available. This is not a number one contender's fight. Instead, you'll fight somebody who's ranked ninth. And if you beat him, you'll get to fight somebody who's ranked fifth. And if you beat him, you'll get to fight somebody who's ranked fourth. And if you beat him, you'll get to fight Dan Henderson again. And if you beat him, you get to fight Cain Velasquez. And after that, we will let you fight John Jones.
Who do you think is a bigger sell? I mean, in all honesty, Gustafsson or Machida?
I think neither. It's John Jones is the sell.
But if you got
you tried to
guys.
Sell a pay, not you, but the UFC tried to sell a pay-per-view on Anderson Silva versus Damian Maia. So I don't know that it matters the guy on the other side of the ring if the guy with the belt is the draw.
But I'm just saying, I think they want to be able to exhaust. You know, your champs are basically fighting once a year.
Okay, but what do you do with Vitor Belfort?
Let him fight for a belt at 185.
Okay.
And let him fight Weidman. I think that's a great fight. That's off topic, but why not just let him fight? Who cares?
Well, because you're jumping into the future that Weidman has to beat Anderson twice.
I'm against the rematch.
Something that's never been.
Make
well,
Anderson
that's
Silva
done.
Win a fight. I know it is, but
make Anderson Silva win a fight. I love that you come in here for 1 week and derail the whole show. I do love that, but make him win a fight.
He's
won for like 12 years in a row, and he loses one.
And then he did something stupid. He got punched in the face really hard.
Alexander
Gustafsson
cut his own forehead and gets a title shot. What's dumber than that?
The UFC. But here's the thing. People want to see Gustafsson fight John Jones. Why? Because he's the same height as him. Like, that is the logic. That's the MMA math. Oh, this guy's tall. Like, his reach is pretty similar to John Jones. I think they're going to be a great fight. No. This guy's going to get murdered. Okay? He's going to get murdered.
That's what they said about Weidman.
Who?
That he was going to get murdered.
By who? John Jones?
By Anderson Silva, and now he's wearing the belt, is what I'm saying. Is this could be a really interesting year. You've got, in my mind, and we've talked about this a lot, but I love to keep talking about it, and we'll head to segment two in a minute. But you've got George St. Pierre, who's got a serious threat in Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks could take that belt.
Yeah,
and
one punch.
I think you can call me a fanboy if you want. Gustafsson could take that belt from John Jones.
Fanboy.
Call me a fanboy. I bet you called everybody who thought Weidman was going to win a fanboy, but guess what? He's got the belt.
That night, I was like, there's no way Anderson. So, I thought leading up to the fight, listen to me. I'm dead serious about this. Leading up to the fight, I was like, yeah, Anderson's going to win.
There were six people that thought Weidman were going to win, and all of them were Matt Serra and his family. Those were the people.
No, man. Then apparently I'm part of the Serra family. Because I'm telling you, as soon as I sat down to watch those fights, as soon as the pay-per-view started...
Joe, as soon as it was over, I knew that Chris Weidman was going to win.
I just felt, you know what, this is not going to be Anderson Silva's night. And you say whatever you want. I mean, there's no, you know, I didn't put anything in stone that said Chris Weidman was going to win, but I did not feel good about that fight come fight night.
Okay. Well, we'll pretend that you knew that one was coming. But when we come back, we will talk about the UFC on Fox 8 that apparently did well in the male cell of 18 to 18 and a half who live in outer Ohio. We'll talk about that next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Joe Teague and Paul Cicchini, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. The show brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos. So close by, so much fun. And on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. The show you can get on demand on the iHeartRadio platform. You can also get it on Stitcher as well as iTunes as part of the Fight Fans Radio Network. We talked about UFC 163 from Brazil. That is on pay-per-view tomorrow night. And last weekend on Fox, you got the 8th edition of UFC Saturday Nights is what they're calling it, right? Yes.
UFC on Fox.
UFC on Fox, but don't they call it Saturday Night Fights or something? Like they call it something Saturday.
Something
it's,
that nobody remembers
yes,
or
they
cares
don't,
about.
They don't number it. They call it a name, and I believe it's Saturday UFC Saturday Nights or whatever, but it
so
doesn't
So they
matter.
Don't officially number it? We, just everybody else?
Everybody
on,
else
on
does.
Earth
they
does?
Yes. Great. They want to get away from the numbers, and they want to get away from the numbers for one reason only, because in 2 weeks when they move to Fox Sports 1, you can't have Fox Sports 1-1, Fox Sports 1-2, Fox Sports 1-3, because people's heads will explode. So I think they're just going to call it Fox Sports 1 Wednesday nights or whatever. Hump Day MMA.
They should
I don't
just call
know.
It UFC whatever. Why don't we just keep the numbers going up?
I think they should go back to the names. Like, on. You know, remember in the, you know, like from the 50 to 100, they had crazy names like UFC Redemption and
oh,
UFC...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Attack
Death Strike.
Attackitude. And those sort of, they should go back to those sorts of things. Anyway, we had UFC on Fox 8. Demetrius Johnson against somebody who had never fought in the UFC, or at least looked like he never fought in the UFC, and John Morga. Moraga, he fought twice in the UFC. You probably never saw him fight, but he finished both of his opponents. And at 125 pounds, they are pretty thin. So he looked like a game opponent right up until the fight started. Demetrius Johnson essentially did whatever he wanted to do for the better part of 22 minutes until he finally got the armbar he'd been going for 3 rounds and finished that fight, which was exciting because it's nice to see Demetrius Johnson get a finish in that weight class.
Captain Decision.
Yes, because he's been Captain Decision, which is problematic. Joe, I know you were talking about how it did very well, but I think if you probably pulled all the numbers maybe on a sliding scale, it probably got less and less and less.
It absolutely did. It did well with just men,
yeah,
and 18 to 49.
And it
specifically
tends to do that, but it's still down 40%. It's the least of all eight of them, and that's in large part to the fact that you've got two tiny men, and I don't think this, but the casual fan looks at those guys at 120 pounds and goes, I could beat them, you know. And then when you see them go to a decision, or one guy essentially just push the other guy around the octagon for 22 minutes, it does nothing but feed that. And unfortunately, the co-main event, which we'll talk about in a second, was supposed to be the thing to get us hyped up for it. And instead, it was Ambien. It put everybody to sleep. Because
literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I know you literally fell asleep. But Paul, what do we do with Demetrius Johnson? I mean, he's ranked number 6 or 7, depending on your list, at pound for pound. And at 125, what do we do with him next?
There aren't a lot of fights there. He's obviously fought Ian McCall twice, once to a draw and once to a victory. He's beaten Joseph Benavidez for the belt. He beat John Dodson. He beat John Moraga. So all these guys who are at the top of that weight class, I mean, anybody below that is below the number 4 contender,
yes,
is the problem for Demetrius Johnson. So it's rematch city. Again, what we don't really want to see.
Do you think Dodson is the natural choice?
I think he could fight all of those guys again, because I think when it came down to it, that first fight against Ian McCall, I thought was a really great fight and a really crappy way to end it, obviously, in a draw.
Yeah, sure. And
we can't go back and fix that.
No.
You know, judges scoring error, blah, blah, blah. But aside from that, I mean, Joseph Benavidez is a very exciting fighter, a guy who I think we all like to see, one of those, you know, fast-moving, hard-hitting, you know, lighter-weight guys who gets around the octagon and makes an exciting fight. Obviously, really no match for Demetrius Johnson. John Dodson is a guy who I'm not really sure where he wants to be. That's, I think, the problem, because he said he would fight at 125, 135, or 145. He's a tiny guy, but he's willing to jump around, and I think he just wants to take whatever the best fight is available.
Aside from McCall's first fight with Demetrius Johnson, Dodson's the only guy that went toe-to-toe the whole time. And I thought that was, for me, what I want to see out of 125 pounds if we're not going to get finishes. And I've said this a million times, I'm totally fine with that. What I'm not fine with is Johnson versus a guy like Moraga, where he outclasses him for 22 minutes and still can't finish him, because that doesn't solve anything.
This weight class needs to be, and unfortunately I'll use a higher weight class, it needs to be Clay Guida 24/7 all the time at this 125-pound category. I mean, that's what the layperson is expecting to happen with these light, small, they should be quick, explosive, firing at all cylinders all the time.
And you need to, but Joe, to your point, you need to find a whole bunch of guys that can keep up with him. I mean, you know, you've got Benavidez who can keep up with him but was outclassed. You have Ian McCall who kept up with him in the first one and then got beat in the second one. And you've got John Dodson who, out of those guys, I thought looked the best.
He's the guy, speed-wise, who I think can legitimately match up minute for minute, round for round, which we saw. And he's a guy who has a lot more room to develop as a fighter. He's younger than Ian McCall, Joseph Benavidez. And we're going to see him grow as a fighter. The issue is going to be whether he stays at 125 or is going to jump around, because when you see guys jump around, I mean, Vitor Belfort is probably the best example right now. It makes it harder for the UFC to say, oh, yeah, we really want to give you a title shot here.
Well, I mean,
maybe not there.
I said it in segment one. I mean, what do you do with him at 205? Well, he's not there right now. He's at 185 this week. Or next week he'll be back at 205. You know, he's there wherever... you know, wherever the title shot allows him to be.
It's nice for the UFC if John Dodson, if they think, okay, he put up a great fight against Demetrius Johnson, awesome, maybe he does go now to 135 and tries to make a run there. That's the problem, really, with, I think, 25, 35, and 45, there's not enough depth at those weight classes.
Yeah, well, and then the problem becomes, if you look, and I would say they even have a little bit of that issue at 155. And when you look at a guy like Benson Henderson, who's another exciting, dynamic fighter who takes it to decisions time in and time out, 155 right now doesn't really have the... clout is the wrong word, but it's the closest one I can come up with a second. When you remember when BJ Penn had the title... there was some clout. Fans were excited about BJ Penn with the title. You know, fans are excited about George with the title. Fans are excited about John Jones with the title. Fans are obviously excited about the implications of Weidman having a title, but we're really excited about Anderson having the title. Heavyweight's another one, except you've got a lot of big names that people want to see fight. You've got Overeem, you've got Verdum, you've got Kane, you've got JDS. People want to see those guys, so I don't know that they necessarily care. I think the law of fighting happens at the heavyweight division, which is we just want to see heavyweights. We don't really care who they are, what they do. Just one of them gets a belt, the other one goes home a loser. Don't really care. That doesn't equate to 25, 35, 45, and 55. And you've even seen it with Jose Aldo, and part of that is the language barrier, because that's just how it is here in America, right, wrong, or indifferent, is that he doesn't speak the language, and he hasn't had as many dynamic destruction wins in the UFC as he did in WEC. I mean, in WEC, you had to love that guy because he was a one-man wrecking machine. And in the UFC, undefeated, like you said, but he's had a couple where you're like, well, he doesn't really look...
he hasn't been healthy since he went to the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been his big problem. He's had back issues. He had an infection. He was in his foot, I think. He was sick. Like you said, he got hit by a motorcycle.
Fell off a motorcycle
at one point
or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's one of those situations where you know as a fighter you're really never going into a fight 100%. But for Jose Aldo, who knows what his 100% is, because he never really seems to be at 100%. Hopefully he's at 100% this weekend, but as we talked about, you know, it's a tough weight cut. Dolce diet is probably the way to go for him. But
even so, there's a limit to what the human body can drop and maintain that level as you get older. Like, if you're 18 years old and you're a wrestler, I don't recommend this, but I know it happens. If you're a wrestler at 18 years old that's dropping 30 or 35 pounds, your body can handle that. If you make a transition into MMA and you do that through your 20s, your body can handle that. As you get to like 30, 31, 32, 33, your body's going to be like 35 pounds. Are you crazy, son?
Well,
go up in weight class. Ask Daniel Cormier how that worked for him.
And I was actually just going to say, you know, with Daniel Cormier, he's talked about going to 205. We think he's going to 205, but he's not cutting to 205. He is legitimately dieting and losing weight because his frame is probably more suited to 205 than it is to be a big heavyweight. So it's, you know, a little different situation for him. But yeah, you know, I think that, let's say Aldo gets this win, like you said, you know, Dana wants him to move up, and that makes the 155-pound weight class a little more intriguing because, in all likelihood, he's going to get the next shot at Benson Henderson.
And well, I mean, I think that's the likelihood if he wins on Saturday night. Rory McDonald, Jake Ellenberger, it was the co-main event. There was a lot of trash talking leading up to this, and then it became a points karate tournament with Rory McDonald throwing a jab, throwing a jab, throwing a jab, throwing a jab. And look, it takes two guys to fight, so I'm not going to pile on Rory McDonald because he did what he needed to do. Jake Ellenberger needed to figure out that he needed to change his plan and fight Rory McDonald.
Particularly before there was a minute left in the fight.
Yes.
I'm going to take you down in the minute, and then I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit on you. I mean, that's worked in the UFC before. I mean, GSP won several fights by taking dudes down and sitting on them. Dan Hardy, as an example. But we can't really be shocked if this is the way that Rory McDonald is going to go into a fight. Firas Sahabi also trains George St. Pierre. We've seen very boring fights out of George St. Pierre. Like you said, the other guy has to make it happen. And we thought George St. Pierre and Dan Hardy could have been a good fight because Dan Hardy was a big puncher at that time. The problem was he couldn't wrestle.
Yes, and again, same thing, Joe, is that you got to pile on Dan Hardy a little bit because it's his job to change the dynamic of the fight. I have no problem with Rory coming up with a game plan and keeping with it, but I do have a bit of an issue with A, Ellenberger not taking it to him, and B, I don't have a problem with the way that Rory fought, but it just wasn't very dynamic and it wasn't really what he has been known for doing.
It absolutely was not entertaining. And Ellenberger did not help anything.
No.
It was
It looked like
the anti-fuel to a fire is what he was.
It looked like a carbon copy, Joe, of when GSP fought Koscheck and just threw that jab at Koscheck's orbital for 25 minutes till his orbital was thrashed, and that was the end of the fight.
But the difference is that Josh Koscheck wanted to fight. The problem was he kept on running into GSP's fist. And that was the issue with Ellenberger. He didn't want to make a fight out of it. And you look at the end of the fight, Rory McDonald didn't look like he'd been in a fight. At least you knew George got hit a couple times against Josh Koscheck, because even though Koscheck was running into a fist the whole time, he couldn't, you know, he just couldn't get anything going. And you're not going to do that against some of the great fighters. But maybe, you know, I think what you've got to do with a Rory McDonald is expect boring fights. Because he's going to go.
And I don't even want to call him boring because it takes two guys to fight. Rory is a guy who wants to have a long career, and the best way to do that is not get hit. You know, you can call Mayweather's fights boring because he doesn't get hit, but, I mean, he's undefeated. He's the highest grossing boxer in the history of the sport. I mean, he's done some things to build a legacy behind, and I don't think that's necessarily not surprising, as you said, where he trains, but not a bad way to go about it. What's interesting is, and we'll talk about it in the next segment, is that Rory has said he will not fight George. George has said he will not fight Rory. Dana has said they will fight when I tell them it's time to fight.
Yeah, we've seen that before. We wanted to see Koscheck fight Fitch. When they were hot commodities at 170, they didn't fight their teammates. Daniel Cormier is not going
to
fight.
Look what happened to both of them, though.
Cain Velasquez. Yeah, but, you know, that's just part of fighting. I mean, you end up fighting different guys.
No, what I'm saying is, you know,
first can pick you up.
Yeah, sure. And we'll talk about that in a second, too. But if you look at history, those guys should have fought at that moment because it was a big money fight and they could have, you know, done some things. And they didn't, and that moment is now passed for both of them. I mean, Josh Koscheck is being fed to Damian Maya, you know? Like,
The solution to Rory McDonald is Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie Lawler was the guy who I think saved that Fox card for sure. I mean, Robbie Lawler, he was the highest paid guy on the roster, and I think rightly so, because it's funny to think how young he is, given how long he's been in the sport. He's, 31, I think? He just turned 31.
He was 20 in 02.
Yeah, I mean...
That was his first debut. One was in 02.
That's when he made his UFC debut.
So, I mean, but it seems like he's been for a lot longer, and he's starting to hit his prime, and he has looked excellent since coming over from Strikeforce, and Saturday night was no different. I was excited to see that fight, and he is just a violent dude that, like you said, wants to bring a fight, Paul.
Yeah, and let him bring it to Rory, because I think if Rory's going to try his jab spectacular on
he calls
Robbie
it the jabtacular.
Either way, I just don't think that Robbie Lawler is going to do that. He's a guy who I think is going to press the action, and it's a decent fight at that weight class, particularly when you have GSP and Johnny Hendricks tied up, and you have Carlos Condit and Martin Kampman tied up. Why not throw two guys who are fresh off a fight? And who I think now, you know, people are kind of like, oh, I'd like to see Rory McDonald get smashed by somebody. Hey, Robbie Lawler's been straight murdering guys in the octagon lately.
And I think if Rory's the guy saying I'm not going to fight George when he's clearly sitting on the doorstep at this point, and if he's waiting to see if Hendricks wins, okay, because that's a possibility, and I would certainly want to see that fight because
Hendricks. Did GSP get a rematch?
Probably.
I'm just saying.
But let's pretend that that doesn't happen and
that we're in a different organization.
Yes. That said, Hendricks is another guy that's going to bring the fight to him. And if he loses, he loses. But he's going to bring the fight to you, and you're going to have to fight him. And Robbie's the same way. So if George beats Hendricks and Rory's sitting there, I think that's probably a logical choice. I don't know what he does if he's able to beat Robbie. I don't know how many more excuses you can come up with. Are you going to sit at the number one contendership till your boy retires? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess. Or GSP makes a move up to 85. I don't know what that proves, but he would have beaten. He would have beaten everybody. And if he legitimately doesn't want to fight his training partner, Rory is at a point where it's easier for him to cut weight, if we're going to go that argument, than it is for GSP. GSP obviously is a technician when it comes to that.
Yep.
But he's getting a little bit older. If he beats Johnny Hendricks, he's beaten everybody available except for his training partner. And then, he could go to 85 and have his super fight that nobody cares about.
So we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I do want to ask you this question. Do you really think that George would go up or retire? Because, when you hear him talk, Joe, it seems like he's done this for long enough. Enough of his life. I just think if he clears out the division, I don't know that he cares,
He certainly has nothing to prove, but I think if he gets an opportunity... I think if Dana came to him with the right opportunity, right money, right situation to fight a guy like Anderson Silva, maybe they're, let's say Anderson Silva loses his rematch with Weidman and GSP loses his belt to Johnny Hendricks, maybe that's a perfect fight to, just say, hey, why don't you guys just do it? Both of you guys are on your way out.
That's just do it at a catchweight then. Don't even bother with it. Just make that its own thing. Forget it. You guys are all sayonara. Catchweight championship ultimate fight. See you later.
185 is practically a catchweight for Anderson Silva. He walks around like 215. You know what I mean? What is he going to do, 183? Like GSP probably, he walks around 190. So, if they do 185, they're both cutting weight.
We'll see what happens. When we get back, we've got more news to get to. And speaking of... super fights in a sense. Bellator has one, and it doesn't include Roy Jones Jr. like it did a week ago. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show. You can get the show on demand on iHeartRadio as well as Stitcher and iTunes, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino. And lots of news this week, as there usually is when there's an event. But no bigger news, and I say that with a little bit of snark, but no bigger news than on Wednesday night when Bellator goes live and they decide that they were going to do their very first pay-per-view. And it was going to feature Rampage Jackson fighting Roy Jones Jr. And then a week passed, and they mentioned on Wednesday night that it's now Rampage Jackson taking on the now unretired Tito Ortiz.
Remember when Tito Ortiz unretired earlier this week and Dana White said, who cares?
Yes.
Yeah, that was America speaking.
Well, there is that.
Ken Shamrock thinks this is a bad idea.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be that harsh, but it's interesting because I'm not really sure what Bellator is trying to do at this point, because I'm all for, if you want to be, to do a wrestling analogy, if you want to be the TNA wrestling to WWE, so all of the super giant stars, Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, GSP, Anderson Silva, blah, 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 they're all in the UFC. And then when your time passes, if you don't get hired by the UFC, Chuck Liddell, Matt Hughes, those sorts of things, you need a place to go, you go to Bellator. Except they're also running this crazy tournament thing that when these UFC guys show up, sometimes they lose, and then all of their clout kind of goes out the window and Ben Askren continues to hold onto a belt. So I'm not really, I can't really.
Poor Ben Askren and poor, what's his name? Alvarez.
Alvarez. Jeez. Eddie Alvarez will never leave there. It's like, for him, it's like Dante's circle of hell is Bellator. He's just stuck there revolving around for the rest of his life. But I don't know what they're trying to do. And I don't know, Paul, if they needed. Do you really think that they needed to go to pay-per-view? Is that a necessary thing? You have Viacom, you have Spike, you have a weekly TV slot. Do you really need to do that?
I forgot Bellator was on TV. So I mean,
but in all seriousness, they have Viacom money, so they have money to blow. But do they
right,
need?
But
they're
to, on Spike. Which do they need nobody to do cares this? About now because the UFC left. Name one other show on Spike that somebody cares about.
Archer. Or is that FX? That's FX.
Fox yeah. Now. See, that's my point.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize, but I mean, that's the problem.
Bar Rescue? That's Spike, right?
It's like A Thousand Ways to Die is stretching. On Spike. A Thousand Ways to Die or something like that is on Spike. It's just that nobody cares about Spike. And I'm sorry,
okay,
your male-centric network can't get any male viewers
okay, so
or
let,
any other viewers.
Let me reset this for a second.
Pay-per-view is a bad idea.
Okay, but let me reset kind of the timeline. So what happens is the UFC wants to do this reality show, and nobody's interested, so they go to Spike, and they pay to do the reality show. They give Spike money to put this thing on. As most of you know, Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner end up fighting in that finale and changes the course.
Hall of Fame, son.
Changes the course of the UFC in a way that's really, quite honestly, hard to measure. Then whatever happens, happens, and they break up. They don't want to see each other anymore. Dana wants to date the cheerleader, and Spike wants to date the librarian, or whatever happens, they break up. Bellator moves from MTV 17 to Spike, and like you said, nobody really cares. So the UFC was able to take this megaphone and make it bigger and jump to a giant network in Fox and then take up all of these assets. I mean, they've been running the Fuel Network as the UFC channel for the better part of a year. This is not the same thing that's happening to Bellator. So I wonder, is the jump to pay-per-view going to help because your megaphone isn't big enough to get people to pay for it? And then a second question to either one of you guys. Is anyone still paying for Rampage and Tito Ortiz?
$15, maybe. I mean, seriously, they have to do ridiculous, stupid, low pay-per-view rates.
Okay, so if it's $10, are you buying it? $10?
No.
I'd pay $10 to watch it, yeah. Just for nostalgia.
Okay.
Literally, just for nostalgia.
You wouldn't at all?
No.
Would you go someplace if let's say Buffalo Wild Wings wanted to pay the whatever rate to play Bellator pay-per-views.
Probably not.
Oh,
you wouldn't
come
even watch
on,
it for
you
free.
Would go.
No, I don't think I would. Because, first of all, the last time Tito Ortiz put on an exciting fight was when he was fighting Ken Shamrock on The Ultimate Fighter. Two, King Mo, so much hype, so little delivery on what he's done.
Yeah, he's certainly been. Yeah, he has not been the saving grace that they thought he was going to be when he went over there.
And you know, the problem with Bellator is that they base it around this tournament style that nobody cares about. I mean, nobody cares about that. The UFC is basically a big giant tournament. It's Thunderdome.
Well,
like these, you know. I mean, but that's how it works. You know, these guys kind of fight round robin. They work their way up and. They're just, you know, they're ranked, and now they fight up the rankings.
It's hard to follow when you don't have time to build the story. And every single week, if you're not watching a three-hour television show prior to Fight Masters, if you can make it through that show, you know, it's hard to pay attention. And that's a lot of Bellator all in one fell swoop. And I know that the UFC is going to kind of mirror that when they go to Fox Sports 1. They're going to do live fights into The Ultimate Fighter. But that's different because you're going to watch Chael Sonnen and Shogun before you watch Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate. So it's a totally different argument.
But here's the problem, I think. Bellator wants to be Bellator. And that's what it is. It's Bellator, and it's an organization that has MMA fighting. The UFC has Jon Jones and Cain Velasquez and George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva and Benson Henderson and Jose Aldo. All these guys who they throw at you constantly. They want you to know who Ronda Rousey.
I mean,
best example ever.
Took him on the road this week.
But not even that. I mean, you see them on TV all the time. When you're watching like a Bellator commercial, you have no idea who any of the fighters are, and it's just about this is going to be MMA and it's going to be on your TV. When it's the UFC, it's like you need to come and watch this fight. Because Demetrius Johnson, he is a champion. He's spectacular. He's exciting. You got Roy McDonald. He's supposed to be really exciting, but he literally put people to sleep this week. And then Robbie Lawler, who has been kicking people in the head. He's like never done that before. And then he, you know, they sell talent. They're guys. The UFC, I know, has had almost three decades of time, or over two decades, to build up their brand. And they don't have to live off their brand. But Bellator doesn't even have they need to build their brand through names, and nobody cares about Shinya Aoki fighting Eddie Alvarez.
Yes, and so to that point, I was watching on Wednesday night when this happened, and this has always been this has been my concern of having them so close to TNA and having guys dance back and forth like they do in Japan, but Japan has had 30 years of experience of doing that pro wrestling MMA thing, so they know how to do it. There was a guy, don't know his name, that walked out to his fight dressed as a caveman, like dressed like Turok.
I'm familiar.
Both of you are. And there was a dragon in like outside of the octagon when he walked to the... I'm assuming his name was Game of Thrones. I'm not really sure. but this is my issue. It's like you said, they built their brand and they built their stars and it's built on fighting. This is like, well, I mean, we're real fighting with like Mrs. Dash wrestling, like just to spice it up a little bit. Every once in a while, there's a dragon and a guy dressed like Turok, and that's fun, right? You like that. King Mo comes out and dumps soda all over the place and then goes to wrestle Rampage and TNA. That's awesome, right? Kurt Angle's there. That's cool. And so not only is it hard for people to buy into the brand, but you don't even know what the brand is, because the guy that you saw fight on Wednesday is now wrestling Kurt Angle on Thursday, and... What?
Well, and Eric, what you said a little bit earlier in the show, I was just thinking about. Go back to the days when the UFC was naming events UFC 10, Redemption.
Right.
Whatever it might be. But now it's UFC GSP versus Diaz. I mean, they're selling the fights on the names, on the backs of the guys who are fighting. As opposed to Bellator, it's just like Bellator at Gun Lake Casino, which is fine. You know, because it's nice for Gun Lake Casino, and
but
it's nice
yeah,
for...
Yeah, I mean, the two names are Bellator and the Casino. The two names are not Joe Teague and Paul Cecchini. It's just you're going to see whatever Bellator is going to give you at this casino or this venue or this water park or wherever it is. But I don't know, to my original question, I don't know if that's enough to get people to go to pay-per-view even for $10, Joe.
And it's not going to be $10.
No, of course not. It's not going to be
$10. No, it's Viacom.
Right. Well, I don't want anybody to think it's going to be $10.
No.
Not that I think they would, but I mean, legitimately, how low do you think they could price the pay-per-view, Joe?
$19.99.
Yeah, I thought $20 would be about
$19.99 is probably the lowest they could get away with and still turn a profit.
And I certainly wouldn't.
Well, that's assuming they actually sold some.
And this is my question, is how do you get people to do that? Because when you have GSP and Diaz, it's literally everywhere. They buy internet ads that follow you around on Facebook, Twitter. I mean, everywhere you go, that ad will follow you around if it knows that you like MMA. You will see it on Bellator because they'll buy time there. You'll see it on WWE. You'll see it on any mail.
They have posters in Times Square.
They have posters in Times Square.
How many years ago would you have thought, I'll never see a UFC poster in Times Square?
Let's fast forward 21 days where you're going to see it on Sunday in the middle of the NFL.
Well, and about this? Well, think about this, though. They have posters in Times Square where they won't let the UFC fight.
Yes, that's very true. Well, I mean, that's another show entirely, because they'll let you box there. They'll let you kickbox there. They'll let you do wrestling there. They'll let you cut your head open with a steel chair. All of those are less violent than two guys in an octagon, but we'll talk about that
in
another time. All right, UFC 163. It is this weekend live from Brazil. All of the results on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. We will catch you next week.